Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Forget. Barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jessica Benson, you know where you love her. Rise and Grind, Grizz Radio Network, proud alum of USC. She'll get to watch Boogie Ellis play next season.
Ooh.
With the Trojans. Let's do this.
Now, it's Jessica Benson from the Grizzlies Radio Network and Rise and Grind host on 92.9 FM ESPN's Jason and John Show.
I mean, have you thought about that? That you are one of one in terms of people who have gotten to root for Boogie Ellis in two different places.
Wow, how did I get so lucky? I also get former Memphis wide receiver Taj Washington on the
football. How about that?
So look at us go.
Why is your program poaching?
Are you
players
doing this?
This is some secret recruiting stuff going on. So
good players.
Don't give it up. Great players. Look forward to seeing them throw up the fight on, wear the cardinal and gold. It's gonna be okay.
But it doesn't. I mean, we've had this conversation with you before. Like, USC basketball actually is, you know, especially with the Mobley Brothers. I mean, they were really good last year. But football, like, I mean, there's still a prestige with that uniform. But I mean, it just doesn't mean what it used to.
It just doesn't hit as hard.
I mean, you know, there was a time where it was like USC was USC and Oklahoma and Texas. You know, the game changes, right?
Yeah, we're still riding the Clay Helton train, and hopefully it finally finds its right tracks as we try to make it back to some level of national relevance. It's been tough. I will say, I mean, honestly, when I think back of like legitimately enjoyable USC football experiences from the last 5 years, all I've got is that 2017 Rose Bowl, and I hold on to it very, very tightly. And that's, I will still cheer for Sam Darnold for that reason, because he gave me my last taste of joy as a USC football fan.
Well, the good news is that here in Memphis, you have a lot more reasons for joy here locally, because the Grizzlies.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, they made a great run. They took a game off the Jazz. So now that we've had a week or so to decompress and sort of make sense of everything, how do you look back and what do you make of this season in Grizz lore?
I think there's just so much optimism surrounding the Memphis Grizzlies and the future of this team. And we talked about it last week when it felt very much like we were trending in this direction, that the season was coming to an end, and saying, you know, should we just be joyful for having been in the playoffs? And I say, absolutely. You got one game. You did it against a Utah Jazz team that's the number one seed in the West, one of the hardest places to play in the NBA this season out there in Salt Lake City. And that experience will just carry over tenfold. And more than anything, to see the continuing ascent of Ja Morant as one of the faces in the NBA, it brings me so much joy to watch. There's an NBA commercial that plays, and it keeps playing during the playoffs. And the first face you see in that commercial of all the NBA players is Ja Morant. Mm-hmm. And that's incredible. Like, he's in year two, and we're already at that level of notoriety as people continue to grow in their respect of his game. And he'll continue growing, too. You know, he knows what he needs to work on in this offseason going into year three. So it's just kind of this excitement brewing of, okay, this year was great. It was a bit of gravy. We didn't necessarily expect it. now where do we go from here? And it seems like we're heading in a direction where it should be some good times in terms of Memphis basketball.
It sounds like you think, Jessica, and I think I'm with Zach Kleiman on this. I wonder if you are too, that, you know, he said John Morant's a massively clear-cut all-star next year. Said that in the end-of-year media session. Do you believe him? I'm with you. In terms of the notoriety that Ja's built, it's going to be hard to keep him out next year, isn't it? Even in the West.
Massively clear-cut. That was some specific wording there. Yeah, no, I mean, I think both in terms of his game and also just his level of being one of the young faces of the league, like, you want him in the All-Star game because you want a face like that to be able to continue to ride this trajectory of, you know, having the game in good hands. We talk so much right now about, you know, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, Zion Williamson, John Morant, all of those guys carrying the game to kind of its own next gen. We talk constantly about next gen Grizzlies. Well, we're also looking at the next gen of the NBA period. So there's a lot of fun there. I think, you know, we know what John needs to work on. He needs to continue to develop his 3-point shot and he needs to get better defensively. And I'm confident that John Morant goes into this offseason with a chip on his shoulder, because I just believe the chip doesn't leave Ja's shoulder. It's always there. So he's going to work on those things. He'll come back. And I look forward to seeing him be a massively clear-cut all-star next season.
You know, obviously the Grizzlies are an aggressive front office when they want to be. We've seen them go out and make deals, certainly getting Jonas and you know, the assets that they've, you know, piled up here in terms of first-round picks. What's the upshot, you think, in terms of what people can hope for next season? Is it really pinned on a full offseason for Jaren Jackson Jr.? Do you think there's some, you know, big swing out there the Grizzlies are waiting to make? Like, what do you think in terms of what fans should hope for next year? What's the upshot?
Well, I know Grizzlies fans are hot on the trade machine, so they love to try to figure out any one of those big swings, because that's fun to just try to think about and, you know, to think if a big star could come and be that next piece here in Memphis. But I do think there needs to be a certain level of, you know, just chill. We listened to Zach Kleiman give his exit interviews, and it's not like there was a whole lot to take from it other than the optimism that's within this front office, within this team right now. And I think so much of it rides on Jaren Jackson Jr. And the language used consistently around this team is Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Those are your two cornerstone pieces. And you didn't get a full picture of Jaren Jackson Jr. with this team. So I think you really have to go into next season and hope that Jaren stays healthy, has a full offseason, not just to focus on getting healthy, but to work on his game and put him back out on that court and see what happens.
If you let's set aside Ja's 3-point shooting, because I'm with you, and I think it's a good thing that he's sick of hearing about it, and I think that means chip on the shoulder. He goes in the offseason, looks to improve it. I'm with you. Set that aside. If you could gift one NBA skill this offseason to one Grizzlies player that could raise the ceiling up higher when you give it to him, what would it be and who would you give it to? Setting aside Ja's 3-point shooting, because Lord knows we've spent enough time on that.
Ooh, that is a hard question. I think if you could continue to carry on with the offensive firepower that Dylan Brooks continued to bring in the playoffs. We know what he brings defensively. Yep. But if you could make Dylan Brooks a legit offensive threat, then that solves a lot of the problems that you're ultimately looking for when you're trying to fill those roles. So, yes, you have Ja, you have Jared. Who's that number three? If Dylan Brooks is a consistent playmaker, three-point shooter, getting it done on the offensive end of the court, that solves a lot of issues right there.
I like that. I might have Jaren and rebound a little higher, but I like the Dylan, especially if he can be more efficient or just consistently efficient. To you, most attractive finals matchup at this point, now that we're on to round two, what do you want to see? What would Jessica Benson like to see in terms of best finals?
I'm not sure we're going to get a best final because I think the Brooklyn Nets are just unstoppable right now. I guess I will see a Nets-Jazz finals, but like, who guards KD? I don't have the answer for that. And I think that right now the Nets are proving that, you know, despite not having James Harden, they didn't need the full scary hours to just be a really scary team this year in the NBA. And so many of us in the media spent so much time discussing, oh, can they make up for it defensively? And can this really work? I think we overthought it. Yeah, you have two of the best players in the game on the court right now together, and it's working really well.
This is very welcome news for Jason, who has a futures bet on the Nets, and I can tell he's already counting his
money. Oh, do you?
Yeah,
I love her vote there.
And he's counting his money because he bought me two, not one, but two Diet Dr. Peppers this morning before work.
That's
very
right.
Nice of him.
Splurging.
But he's counting his money, clearly, and he's probably
Thank
right
you for
to
that,
do
Jessica.
So. He is probably right to do so. We're talking to Jessica Benson. She joins us every single Tuesday here on the show, Catch on Rise and Grind Grizz Radio Network. You're like our producer. You have many allegiances. You have many different teams that you you pull for. How many are there? How many are there?
The limit does not exist. I'm always welcoming new teams into my fold. But I did get called out because my co-host on Rise and Grind, Megan Triplett, she's a legit Tennessee Titans fan. And I've tried to edge my way into this Team Tennessee side of things. And she's like, no. You can only have... Cause I'm like a pseudo Bills fan, and I grew up in Denver, so I'm a Broncos fan. And sometimes I root for the Seahawks, and I live with a Niners fan. So none of it works, period. But I am not allowed to jump on the Titans bandwagon, despite being very excited that Julio Jones will have an opportunity to play here in Tennessee next year.
So in that spirit, what has been for your 500-600 different teams, what has been your favorite, like, and most satisfying run? Like, what team was it? What'd they do? What was the best one for Jessica Benson?
Oh, the best of all time was the Boise State Fiesta Bowl win over Oklahoma, because that was back when I was a big Wacker bus. My dad was the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference. I rode the mid-major wave my whole life, and it finally paid off in that moment when Boise State beats Oklahoma. Nobody predicted it. I got to go back and rub it in a bunch of people's faces back in high school. And that was just the pinnacle of my sports fandom. But not to go back to that USC Rose Bowl, but in terms of like my teams I'm super connected with, that would be it too. We've had a lot of great runs with the Denver Broncos and got to experience, you know, the most recent Super Bowls. The Super Bowls when I was a kid back with John Elway were fun too. So I've had some good moments. I've had some good ones.
But, you know, being the daughter of a, you know, a college commissioner, like, do you remember really having a choice in terms of sports, or was it just something that you were exposed to at such an early age? And, you know, your dad, I mean, that was his life. And so that's just kind of what you did as well. I mean, what do you sort of remember in terms of your first exposure to sports?
Oh yeah. I was just everything we did was sports. My first exposure to sports was as a baby, I threw up on the Fresno State athletic director at a basketball game. Like, from the time I was little, I was really leaving my print on the game. But our vacations were tied to sports. Our summer vacations were tied to meetings that were about sports. So I always had a choice. Like, I'm really into musical theater too, which some people know, some people don't. So I always kind of split my time between the sports side of things and then loving a good Broadway musical here and there, which is a weird combo to have in this world. But my grandpa on my mom's side, my mom's dad was also, he was a scout for the Buffalo Bills. And so I had the football and the NFL ties there. So anytime, you know, you have Thanksgiving, it's all about where are we watching the game. Yeah, it was just sports from early on until now.
Does the Julio trade push, would you say they're on equal ground with your beloved Bills? Is it still 1-2 KC, Buffalo, then Tennessee, Cleveland, those teams to figure it out? So how high do you push up Tennessee after this Julio trade?
Yeah, I think if Julio can be Julio Jones and be 100% healthy going into this Tennessee offense, I think they're right there with Kansas City as the biggest challenge to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, and that pains me to say, but that offense, you know, I know a lot of people crack their jokes on Ryan Tannehill and what he's going to do with all of these weapons, but I think he rises to the challenge. And I think having, you know, two legitimate deep threats in Julio Jones and AJ Brown, that's just going to be a fun team to watch. I'm going to wish that I was a Titans fan next season, and it's going to be very hard for me not to like edge my way into that Team Tennessee territory.
And then last thing, because it is a question that I think a lot of our listeners are wondering, are you and Chris at this point, is it common law marriage? I mean, we got to be inching closer to it.
Our date is August 6th, 2022.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we are in the process of, we're back on full wedding planning
Good.
Mode.
Good.
So we really took, thank you. it's time. And so we just locked down a DJ.
Wow.
That was our most recent. We interviewed DJs, which is a very weird process to go through.
Wow.
That's where we're at. So, yeah, we do have a date. We have a venue, and we are well on our way to actually getting married in 2022.
No kind of Bridezilla stuff, right? I watched that show because of my wife, and we're not talking that with you, are we, Jessica?
No, I'm is like more the Zilla? Anti-bride. I can't. But I do have 12 bridesmaids, which is one of the craziest things about this wedding. Yeah, it's aggressive.
Are you going to have 5,000 people at this wedding?
No, we're trying to keep it under 150, but you already have 12 bridesmaids. That's a big number. And each of them has to get a plus one. That's 24.
And what groomsmen, right? I mean, you got to have enough groomsmen to walk them down.
Taylor Jenkins, play all of them.
Chris has six.
What about the other six? They just walk down alone?
Well, I have one of my bridesmaids is a man, so I can pair one of those up. We're still figuring out the logistics of it, but we'll have, like, you know, the dude will be in the middle, and you can have two girls, and you can walk down, and we'll figure it out.
What do you call a bridesmaid that is a man? A bridesman?
I just call him my bride's dude, or my bride Connor.
I've seen this before. It's becoming more popular. I just don't know what the correct term is. So bride's dude. Okay, we will roll. Well, we're excited to certainly hear that it is happening August 2022. We will count down
days.
Thank you so much for the time, as always.
I appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
Yep. She is Jessica Benson. Catch her on Rise and Grind. And, of course, right here, 90 Turn FM, ESPN, pre and post. Yeah, it's...
Penny, like, did you say 12?
That's right.
You know, I like my teams deep.
That's a hell of a rotation there.
It is.
I mean...
12, bro? 10. How many did your wife have any? Well, y'all had
We went to Mexico.
Yeah.
She had, like, her sister, so that's...
Right.
I think she had four or five, maybe.
We are truly out of the pandemic.
But it was not going to be, no, there was no way she was going to have 12. Because you got to think, just if you're going to have 12 bridesmaids, there's no way you're staying under 150. You know, I mean, my goodness. Anyway, thanks to Jessica Benson for joining us on the show today. We'll come back, wrap this thing up. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.